So yesterday we discussed two important issues on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and now we're going to go on to the next one. Yesterday we discussed briefly the concept of Mechur HaDavar. The Gemara points out that avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, avoiding situations that are not tasteful, although they're not technically usher, that's also halakhic imperative. Avoiding Mechur HaDavar, avoiding an inappropriate situation, subjectively defined. In addition to avoiding those situations which are objectively violations of Yichud. And then we spent most of our time yesterday on the sugya of Baila Be'ir. Gemara says, Rabbi has the memory of Rabbah and the story of Rav Yosef and of Bibi, and Eshes Rav Yosef, and the din of Baila Be'ir. Baila Be'ir, we pass in Lactosis, Baila Be'ir is not just a Patur Onshin, Baila Be'ir is Mutter, Hetzer Gamer, but that's only true when it's not Libo Gaspa. Libo Gaspa, and there's no Heter of Baila Be'ir. And we discussed yesterday, Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Achronim, which looks like it's really Machlokas Rishonim, what's the logic behind Baila Be'ir with many practical napkaminas? Is Baila Be'ir merely Mutter because they're concerned the husband might actually walk in, pop in, while his wife and this other man are alone together? Or for that matter, two women and a man alone together. That's a more limited heter. And that seems to be rooted in the language of Rashi. Mustafa mi baal hashtasi. The husband may walk in right now. Or is there a more broad heter, rooted in the language of the Rambam, as the Chazanish pointed out, which is the language of the Shulchan Aruch, the broader language, emas baila aleha. It's not, even if the husband isn't actually going to walk in right now, but the fact that he's in proximity, he's in town, that already creates a different mindset, a more inhibited, appropriately inhibited mindset. And then he said a whole slew of nafkaminas. If the yichud is not happening at home, so the husband is not likely to pop in, or the husband cannot pop in, either because he doesn't even know where his wife is, or because she knows that he's in the same town, but he's at work, and she knows, he just called to say, and he's walking into court. He's a lawyer, he's walking into a hearing on the other 45 minutes away, and walking into, unless the hearing is suddenly summarily dismissed or something, suddenly canceled or delayed, he's going to be there for a couple of hours. And even if it's suddenly, you know, everything is put on hold, and he walks out, it'll take a 45 minute drive to get from work to where she is. Right? Situations like that. Related to that is Rav Moshe Feinstein Shaila, how you define an ear? That's really another version of the same question. Does ear mean the same city, like in Tchum Shabbos, a halachic sense, or maybe in political boundaries? Or does ear mean practically you're able to get from point A to point B quickly? And then, also there's a question, what do you do with Libo Gaspa? You say like Rashi, so Pitzchei Tshuva quote from the Chachmas Adam, you say like Rashi, the whole din of Libo Gaspa grows dramatically. That exception gets very, very big, and it knocks out most of Baila Be'ir, because it means any time that it's reasonable that the married woman is alone with the other guy, it's going to be awesome. If you accept the Rambam, which is the predominant view, then Libo Gaspa means if they're very comfortable with one another in an appropriate way, but comfortable with one another, so that familiarity is going to counterbalance the inhibition of Baila Be'ir. Okay. Now we move on to the next member of the Gemara. We saw it yesterday. Now we'll dig in. Back to Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. In between the member of Baila Be'ir and the story of Baila Be'ir was the member of Rav Yosef. And it was the small letter Vav. Amar Rav Yosef, Pesach, Pasuach, L'Rishus HaRabim, Ein, Choshishim, Mishim Yichud. If there's a door open to Rishus HaRabim, then there's no concern of Yichud. And you take a look at Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Siftes. How do we know where to look, by the way? How do you know that you should be looking at Siftes? Very good. It's Ein Mishpat, Ein Mitzvah. Let's just take a look for a moment before we go back to the page of the Gemara just for a moment. You see, Baila Be'ir has a little letter Hey, Pesach Pasuach, a little letter Vav. So if you look on the side, Ein Mishpat Ein Mitzvah is at top outside corner. So I see Kuf Tazayin Hey, Kuf Yud Zayin Vav. So those big letters, the Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, Kuf Tes Vav, those are numbers that run from the beginning of the parak. But the little letters, Aleph Beis Gimel, just run, restart every Amud. So the little letter Hey, which was Ba'al Be'ir, it takes you over here, little letter Hey, my mini parak of Gimel Hilchos Yisur B'Alach Yud Beis, then Tusha, Tes Vav Shema Ayin, is Tur V'Shulchan Aruch, Sham, there, the previous one raised at Ebenezer, Simen Chav Beis, Seif Ches, and Vav is Maimini Sham, Tusha, Tur V'Shulchan Aruch, Sham, Seif Ches. So Hey was Ba'al Be'ir, and that was Seif Ches. Vav was Pesach Pesuach, and that was the test. And you're in the Gemara, you're looking, wondering where should I look? You look in the side, and you follow a little letter that tells you this is how we pass it, because it's funny where it's quoted in La Halacha. That's the Rishit that we pass like, and here's what you're going to find. Who created the Amish for the Mitzvah? An amazing, a man who, the same man who created the Masoras HaShas, and what's truly amazing about him is that he did not have a Masoras HaShas or an Amish for the Mitzvah. If you think about it, it's actually very profound. He just had Gemara. And he sat down. How do you do that? He sit down with a Gemara and just start writing where everything else is. Well, he would quote, the reason why Mishra Nemetzah shows you who he passed is because he every time there's a line that gets quoted in the Rambam of the Torah Shulchan Aruch, he'll tell you where to look. So, by definition, he's marking off those lines that get quoted in the Sefer Halacha. That's why 99 times out of 100, whatever is marked off is what we passed on. But to just sit there with a Gemara, it's like an astounding feat. He just open the brachas without a mishmanim, without Masoras HaShas, and start saying, oh, that's the line Shabbos Kufi Ches. Okay. Oh, that's the line Beharis. And that's the line Bava Kama. And that's the line Sanhedrin. How do you do that? Maybe he had a lot of index cards? And he indexed everything? It's like I assume he didn't just sit down with the Gemara and go through once. He had to go through two or three times to catch everything. But it's an astounding feat of Yediyas HaShas. Really, really incredible. I think he was named with the first one who did it. The brackets were added by a later Talmud Chacham. The things that are not in brackets, the first round, the Masoras HaShas, the Amish Benei Mitzvah, his name was Rav Yeshua Boaz. I think he lived around the 1600s. He also was the one who put together the Shilta HaGiborim. We look in the Rif in the back of the Gemara, on the side, the Shilta HaGiborim, little letters, so he collects Rishonim that comment on what's going on in the Rif. Again, he didn't have the Shulchan Gibarim to make the Shulchan Gibarim. It's an astounding feat. That type of Yediyas HaTorah is born of a lot of Hasmada and a lot of Avos HaTorah. Okay. And we get to be the recipients of all that goodness. And hopefully that will inspire us to have our own growth in Hasmada and Avos HaTorah. So Tessa Pasul Shusarab. Ein Choshim Shemichad. And Yeshua Boaz is kind enough to tell us, if you look in Sif Tes, in Simon Chav Beis and Ebenezer Sif Tes, you'll find it in. And lo and behold, here it is. Sif Tes. Bye, Yisha Pizcha Pasuach Lushos HaRabim. Ein Chashash Lehizach Echam Im HaErva. If the door of the house is open to the Rabim, then there's no concern of Yichud, even Yichud Daraisa, even Yichud with an Er. Okay. So there are three main issues. That sounds like a pretty useful din to know. There are three main issues that come up. There is an interesting question. Right away when you look in the Chalukah's Machlokes, you start saying, Hava Libo Gaspa by Pesach Pasuach? That's an interesting question. We'll get back to that. Interesting question. I'll give you a really practical example of that. One of the greatest examples of Libo Gaspa is Yishol Bizarcha, Mitzvah Hashem. You will be there at some point in life to be engaged to the right woman whom you're excited to marry. So if you find yourself in that situation, that's great. That's excellent. And hopefully it's Libo Gaspa, unless you're doing very seriously Hasidic dating. When you're engaged, and you're doing seriously Hasidic dating, you don't yet know the Kalasol. That's just the way it works. If you grow up in that system, apparently it works. If you don't grow up in that system, I do not recommend it. That's serious. If you grow up in the system, then it apparently works, but it's not something to jump into if that's not the way you're raised. So if you're incredibly excited to marry this woman, you can't wait to get married, so that's definitely, by all accounts, that's a Mahadran Shir of Libo Gaspa. Now, Baila Be'ir isn't relevant because, yes, if you're engaged to her, hopefully she's not married. Her husband is not in town. She should not be married to anyone if you're engaged to her. So Baila Be'ir, it's not going to come up Baila Be'ir. But if you think Libo Gaspo is relevant to Pesach Pasuach, that means that when you're very seriously dating or engaged, the open door policy is not going to be good enough. Okay, that's important. And we'll post and raise it, we'll have to come back to it. But first, let's get into the core issues. Pesach Pasuach, L'shus HaRabim. How many terms there need definition? Pesach, Pasuach, L'shus HaRabim.
Three.
What?
Pesach, Pasuach, and L'shus HaRabim.
What's Pesach Pasuach? Maybe let's clump them a little bit. What's the Pesach? What's Pasuach? And what's Rosh Hashanah? What does it mean the door is open? And what does Rosh Hashanah mean? So let's start with the easy one first. What's a Rosh Hashanah? Say, well, if there's an Erev in town, it's not. Right. Obviously, you don't mean for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, right? We presume you mean a public area.
A hallway
of a building. Let's say you're in an apartment. So if you're in a house, you have a private house, you have a door that opens straight to the street. If you're in an apartment building, so your apartment, the open door, the front door of the apartment doesn't lead into the street, leads into the hallway. Is every street Rosh Hashanah?
No.
Take a look at the Bar Hetev. The Bar Hetev is going to comment on the page. Bar Hetev is right here, right below the Shulchan Aruch. See Bar Hetev. Let's see what he has to say. And then the truth is, you should think about a Gemara that we learned, not today and not yesterday, but a Gemara that we learned in the Sugyas of Yichud that actually has a lot of relevance. But let's see what the Bar Hetev. Can anyone think right now, off the top of your head, of a Gemara that we learned in the Sugyas of Yichud that are relevant to define which area is actually Eretz Yisrael? Oh, walk in the forest. Very good. Very good. So take a look at the Bar Hetev. See Sifkat and Tess? See the Rosh Hashanah? He starts with the Libo Gospel. We'll get back to that. But the second line. See where my fingers? The first column of the Bar Hetev. The is right below Shulchan Aruch. First column, second line. Had the Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hashanah in Choshen. When we say the Pesach Pasuach is Matri Yichud, Davke Bayom Avo Balai Lolo. It's only during the day, but not at night. What is this? Like the mitzvah of Mila and Tzitzis? And Tfilin has to be by Yom? Oh! Then he goes on to say, Ubalayla Nami, Davka Bishtei Shos, O Gimel Shos, V'yoseh. I don't mean like it's totally in a halachic status of night that has to be after Shkir, after Tzitzis HaKochavim, has to be before Los HaShach. Nah, he says, it doesn't mean halachic night, it means functional night. He says, the first 2-3 hours of the night should be beyond 2-3 hours into the night. People are already at home. The ain over v'shav, and there's no traffic on the street. Nowadays, things have changed a little bit because we live after Thomas Edison revolutionized civilization by creating the light bulb. But before electric lights, lighting up the night was very expensive and not practical for most people to do on a regular basis for many hours. So we only realize the extent to which life was fundamentally different before the electric bulb, because it got dark and most people went to sleep. Staying up late to learn, as an example, was very rare. As Mr. Zavish, you had to have a candle or keep a candle burning the whole night. That's not. It's mindless. Hey, flick a switch, and how much does it cost? Next to nothing. Lighting used to be very expensive, so for most people, and if you learn the opening sugya in brachas about Zman Kriyash Marshal Arvis, when do people go to sleep? B'shachbacha. People went to sleep when it got dark, you went to sleep, because it was really dark. If you've ever gone camping, and I don't mean at a campsite, an urban campsite with a lot of light, like you go camping in the wilderness, you spend the night in the forest, it gets really, really dark, really quickly, and you get really tired, because it's really dark. And it takes effort to stay up. The natural thing when you're camping, like it gets dark and you're tired, you go to sleep, unless you have to make an effort to stay up. So nowadays, 2-3 hours after dark, everyone's hopping and bopping. But 8 o'clock at night, Batkufas, 300 years ago, 8 o'clock at night, who's on the street? Rare. Who's on the street? 8 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock at night, it's already quiet. By 6:30, Aval b'chatzi shah shalayla, a half hour after dark, she b'nei adam over in v'shavim. People are still on the street. And here he uses a terminology that will be soon relevant for the upcoming... Yes. A dying lokalsa regal minashuk. A half hour after the sun sets, a lokal regal minashuk. That you recognize from, obviously, the sugya Ner Chanukah. Right? It's the same reality. That's why the Briskerov raised that question. Briskerov lived... Does Hilchas Ner Chanukah change once you know social norms have changed? Brisker Rav in Yerushalayim lived for, I don't know, for his entire city of Yerushalayim, or at least at one point, he lived across from a movie theater, ironically. So apparently Brisker Rav used to light very large oil cups because people were leaving the theater at 11:30 at night. So he wanted that, what he held, that's not kosher regel nashuk until after, it's not a question of a half hour. Whatever is going on in your street. In his street, there was traffic on the street until 11:30 at night. So he wanted his Ner Chanukah to be going until 11:30 at night. So whether or not that's relevant to Ner Chanukah, it's definitely relevant to Hilchas Yichud. That's what the Bar Hetev is quoting. He says from the Knesset HaGedolah, one of the early Acharonim, that as long as there's still traffic on the street, whether it's daytime or a half hour after night, or for us, could be even later. So then Kayom Chashiva, and there's no Isser Yichud, that's the Rishus HaRabim. But once the street is quiet and there's really no one around, that's not Rishus HaRabim. As you guys pointed out correctly, Raya is from the Gemara with Ravin of Yehuda. You see that in Isser Yichud, they're out in the open. They're in the forest. They're definitely not locked up in a house. But if there's no one there, that's a Yichud problem. It could be a deserted street even during the day, or a street that maybe is busy during the day, but at night it gets quiet. So that's important. That's important. The post, the Dvar Halacha, one of the modern classics on Yichud, quotes, I believe, from Shlomo Zalman, they thought as long as people are passing by once every 5 minutes or so, that's still considered to be Rishus HaRabim. So if you're in view, so let's say you're on a date and you want to have a quiet place to talk. You want some privacy to talk. You want privacy, but not too much privacy. Once you're married, take your wife on a date on a regular basis, and obviously no Isser Yichud. But Kol Zman, you're not married, so you have to grapple with, you have to contend with the Isser Yichud. So you want privacy, but not too much privacy. Right? So you want to be, maybe you'll find a quiet spot to sit, but where people can see you, every couple of people passing by, randomly every couple of minutes, or more. So that's Pesach Pasuach Lushus Rabim. If you're in such an obscure, out-of-the-way spot that no one's passing by, that's not Pesach Pasuach Lushus Rabim. So that's one issue. What's Lushus Rabim? The answer is actually traffic. It has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. It has to do with our people actually passing by. You're in an apartment building. Well, the door of your apartment is open to the hallway. What's going on in the hallway? If there are people, what's your floor like? Which may depend on your floor, it may depend on what time it is. If it's a busy floor, it's a time when it's busy, and people are walking by every couple of minutes, okay. But if you're at the end of the hallway, or it's just a quiet floor, or it's 1 o'clock in the morning, or for that matter, maybe 9 o'clock at night, and no one's around, or maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone's at work, no one's around, so then that would not be a heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Shusrav. But then there's the other issue. One issue remaining that we will Mirchem talk about next time. I'll tell you what the issue is, and we'll pick up with this next time, is what does Pasuach mean? What does Pasuach mean? How you... I have a door which is Pasuach. How do you translate Pasuach? Is this a Pesach Pasuach?
Yes.
Why? Who thinks this is a Pesach Pasuach?
I don't.
Who thinks it's not a Pesach Pasuach? Someone who raises his hand first, want to tell me why this is Pasuach?
It's unlocked.
Who would say it's sasum? Why?
It's closed.
I said, what does Pesach Pasuach mean? Pesach Pasuach means wide open, or Pesach Pasuach just mean unlocked? Is that, matter of fact, it's very relevant. And once we dig, we have to figure out, we're going to see it's a major, big names. There's a Radvaz, there's a Rekiva Eger, and a Beis Meir. A very, very frail Chapiske Tshuva. This is one of the most relevant issues in all of Hilchas Yichud. One thing you should be asking yourself is, why would I say one or the other? Why would I need an unlocked door, or why would it be... Why would I need an open door? Or why would it be enough to be unlocked? And we're going to see this is an example of a larger issue. We'll pick up this Mitzvah next time.